Welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's premier publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham. In this episode, we're heading to New York to find out how consumer and retail M&A is shaping up in 2025. We'll be finding out about the impact of weight loss drugs, the changing trends in snacking, and, once again, tariffs. I'm joined by Brian Yu, who's a reporter for Merger Market based in New York, who covers the consumer and retail sector. Hi, Brian. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Juliana. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So let's start by looking back to last year. It wasn't a great year for consumer and retail M&A in North America in 2024. Can you give me an overview of what it was like and what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, it was a little bit of a down year for consumer and retail M&A in 2024. You know, deal activity overall was down, but sources have told us that they expect things to pick back up in 2025. And again, unfortunately, we're still seeing numbers that indicate the consumer space isn't exactly thriving and is really still continuing to recover post-pandemic. According to Merger Market data, consumer deal activity peaked at $185.8 billion in 2015, was at $118.6 billion in 2021 at the height of the pandemic, and hovered around $90 billion in 2024. In fact, 2012 to 2018 saw 7 straight years of activity surpassing $115 billion, so we really hope this year we'll see a return to those kinds of figures. I think in general, consumer dealmaking in 2024 started relatively slowly, but picked up in the second half. There was around $20 billion worth of deals in the first half and around $70 billion of deals in the second half, which is definitely a good sign for deal activity this year.
Okay. And looking ahead to this year, it's a new year. There's a new president in the US, which we'll come on to shortly. What is the general M&A outlook for consumer and retail for 2025?
Yeah, absolutely. So with regards to 2025, you know, I think there's a good chance that we see the momentum from the second half of 2024 carrying on into this year. There was obviously a lot of uncertainty over the election. Now that's been decided. On top of that, interest rates being higher, which makes these M&A deals more costly, probably held some deals back at the end of 2024, despite us still seeing some decent activity in sectors of food and of consumer and retail, such as snacking and bakery. But you know, assuming that interest rates continue to ease, I really think we're going to start seeing activity pick back up again. Several sources have told us that we may also see more mega deals going forward as we move on from Biden's antitrust environment, which was generally regarded as pretty strict. You can take the canceled grocery mega deal between Kroger and Albertsons, for example. Kroger announced in October 22 that they were set to acquire Albertsons for a whopping $24.6 billion. But the deal was called off in December last year after the FTC secured a key court ruling against a merger. Now, a source told me that that deal is an example of one that may have garnered more support under Trump's administration.
And is that likely to come back, that deal?
Yeah, that deal in particular is not likely to come back due to some legal issues. Albertsons has sued Kroger, but going forward, we could see similar mega deals being passed under a Trump FTC and DOJ.
And can we look at some of the subsectors of the consumer and retail space that are expected to see increased M&A activity this year? You mentioned bakery as one example.
Yeah, absolutely. Bakery is definitely an example. Most of the processes we've reported on this year so far have been in the bakery sector. I think generally snacking is going to be, you know, the sector on everyone's lips. It's definitely going to be the hottest sector in food and beverage. More and more people are choosing snacks over traditional meals. A recent survey I saw noted that half, I think around 56% of Americans have replaced traditional meals with snacking or by eating smaller meals. So because of that, we might see additional snack-focused mega deals similar to Mars and Kellanova. That was a $36 billion deal that was announced in August 2024. It's also been widely reported that Mondelez had multiple bids for Hershey's rejected. So that could be one to keep an eye on. I think the latest bid that they had rejected was in December of last year. So something could be happening again pretty soon. A partnership between, you know, these two giants would really change the game, I think, in the confectionery sector, and would definitely strengthen Mondelez's position as one of the biggest food companies in the world.
And can you talk about the kind of healthier snacking sector?
Yeah, I think consumers will definitely prioritize the trend of health and wellness, and we'll definitely see requisite M&A activity based on that. Healthy, better for you snacks, they're definitely going to remain prominent M&A targets as companies seek to appeal to their health conscious consumers. We've already seen a large better for you snacks deal this year with the announcement earlier this month of Flowers Foods acquiring Simple Mills for almost $800 million.
On the subject of health and of snacking, a huge recent trend is the explosion in weight loss jabs and the popularity. Can you talk to me about how the rise in drugs like Ozempic is affecting food and beverage M&A?
Yeah, absolutely. Ozempic is obviously something that's been around for quite a while, but only really started to gain popularity rapidly, I think, in 2021. It then, you know, retreated from the spotlight a little bit, but I'd say it's now back in the spotlight, you know, especially in relation to snacking and how sources think it's going to be a really hot sector for food M&A. Now, some of my sources have told me companies will have to be more conservative in their growth predictions going forward to account for these, you know, the potential risks that Ozempic brings to them. As more and more consumers try Ozempic, obviously, we may start to see a natural fall off in the amount of snacks bought. On the other hand, though, this could, again, pave the way for healthy, better-for-you snacks to continue their growth and popularity. We saw several better-for-you snacking brands come to market or transact last year. There was Power Crunch, Simple Mills that just transacted, obviously, Bobo's, Fit Crunch, and Simple Mills, as I mentioned, just went for almost $800 million. I think that really reflects the demand and interest companies have in acquiring better-for-you snacking companies. So acquiring better-for-you snacking brands will be one obvious way for strategics and sponsors to deal with the growth of Ozempic. I think we may also see strategics start to develop their own products targeted at health-conscious consumers and Ozempic users. Nestle, for example, their Boost brand recently launched a pre-meal drink, which promotes the body's natural production of the hormone GLP-1, helps suppress appetite, and is heavily marketed towards consumers using weight loss medication.
Interesting. So one to keep an eye on. Now, it was Donald Trump's inauguration a week ago. What effect is Trump expected to have on consumer and retail M&A in North America? And what about the proposed tariffs? Where do they fit into the picture?
Yeah, great question. Consumer is a sector that obviously relies heavily on foreign companies and workers. Food and beverage is definitely a sector that could be heavily affected by Trump. Changes to immigration policy, those could really disrupt the food system. It's a sector that relies heavily on undocumented workers in areas such as agriculture and meatpacking. I think taxation is another area where Trump's appointment is going to have a huge impact. You know, during her campaign, Kamala Harris had proposed a capital gains tax increase to 28%. And I think that likely would have incentivized sellers to sell as soon as possible to maximize profits if she had won the election. Trump hasn't outright said he will reduce the capital gains tax, but reducing taxes in general was obviously a big part of his campaign. So I think we could see a reduced capital gains tax that is more favorable for sellers this year, and that could definitely lead to increased M&A activity. Now, you spoke about tariffs. I think in general, it's clear that tariffs will lead to a skyrocket in production costs. That's clear to see. International manufacturers, which export to the U.S., they're definitely going to require a huge logistics overhaul. I think as a result of that, we might see more foreign manufacturers setting up operations in the U.S. to avoid the tariffs. Now, U.S. companies that rely heavily on foreign exports of things like food ingredients could suffer heavily from the new tariffs. I think this could lead to potential acquirers delaying processes until they can be sure as to which countries and products will be affected and how severe these tariffs will be. I've already spoken with several sources who have said, you know, we might end up seeing more processes launching in the second half of 2025 compared to the first half as potential acquirers want to wait for more clarity as to the extent and effect of Trump's proposed tariffs.
Great. Well, it sounds like a good time to come back and speak to you again then, Brian. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Brian Yu, who's a reporter for Merger Market in New York, covering consumer and retail. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it and do give us a rating and review. For more information about what we've been talking about in this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.